Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and life coach David Bartke here. Today is Sunday, May the 13th, 2018. It is a little bit later than 8 p.m. Eastern time. That's our normal time for doing this, but we got a late start, so we're actually doing it an hour later. And most of you are listening to it after the recording is done anyway, so I'm sure you don't care, but I care, so that's why I keep saying it. No, it's my thing. You know, I always announce what the date is so that it becomes a nice, easy way to tell, okay, which show am I listening to? Oh, I'm listening to the Thursday show. I'm listening to the Sunday show, the Monday show, whatever. You know, so it becomes a nice little thing for the listeners, too, because now they know which show they're listening to. But anyway, so how's it going, David?
It's going good. I'd like to say happy Mother's Day to the mothers out there.
Absolutely.
And we had a fun day today. Celebrating that, and it was very nice. And what about you? Did you do anything fun today?
A little bit fun. Louise also posted something on her Facebook page about Mother's Day, wishing not only mothers but anyone who has taken care of children at some point, which I think is really appropriate because it isn't just the mothers. I mean, anybody who takes care of kids is playing the role of mother, right, for some period of time, daycare or whatever it might be. So, yeah, I think it's anybody who's taking care of kids should be appreciated on a day like this.
Oh, and also fur babies.
All the
fur baby moms to take
that's
care
right.
of cats and dogs.
The dogs and cats, other, that's right.
Wonderful.
Even the feathered creatures.
Feathered ones too, absolutely.
That's right, yeah. So, yeah, it's been a good day, good weekend. And we are really, really close now to publishing the book. I'm not quite ready to announce what the publication date is, but I'm going to give everybody an advance hint. It looks like 99% that we're going to launch it over the Memorial Day weekend.
Wow, that's soon.
Yeah, very, very soon.
Wow, very nice.
So it's not an official announcement yet, but that's what it's looking like. And what a good time to do it, too, because, I mean, a large chunk of our listeners are here in the United States. Of course, that's where we celebrate Memorial Day. Memorial Day here in the U.S. is sort of the unofficial start to summer, even though it's still springtime.
Yeah.
And we expect, you know, the majority of our sales to come here in the U.S., so it seems like a good time to do it because it's a three-day weekend, and we'll probably start on the Friday before, so that would give us 4 days. And what I'm planning to do, and I've been promising our listeners this, I've been planning to set it up so that during the Memorial Day weekend from Friday through Monday, anyone who is a listener is going to be able to get a free copy of the Kindle version of the book.
Wow, very nice.
So we're going to be giving you more instruction about how to do that when the time comes, but we've been promising it all this time, and it's about time we delivered, don't you think?
Absolutely.
And I have to tell you, the early reviews from the authors, because the authors had only seen their own stories, right? But the early reviews from the authors is really good. There were even a few authors I was a little concerned about, and one in particular... just because I had to make some pretty major changes to his story. He wrote back and said, I understand what you're trying to do with the book, so I'm okay with everything you did. And I thought, this is good. I like this.
That was a win.
That's a big win. Yeah. Other authors have been saying things like, I've been reading the book through. I can't stop reading it. Another one told me, thank you for making my story better. I don't know how you did it, but you made it better. It's like, I like this. This is good. People telling me that they were inspired by some of the stories. They couldn't stop reading them. They thought they were really fun. They thought they were really entertaining. So the early reviews are looking really good.
Now, for the rare case that someone listening doesn't know what you're talking about.
I'm assuming that all of our regular listeners are the ones who are listening. There are new listeners, aren't there? That's right. Yeah, well, new listeners, you are coming in at just the right time. We have a book that we've been working on since January. And this is a collection of Law of Attraction manifestation stories. Stories of people who have deliberately tried to draw things into their lives, manifest things in their lives. Or in some cases, did it without realizing what they were doing. Some of those stories actually involve people who, you know, they didn't know the Law of Attraction at the time. And they still managed to do it just by, you know, stumbling on doing it the right way, you know. So, and it's all written, well, almost all of it, like about... at least 85-90% of it is written by coaches, people who are in professional businesses providing law of attraction coaching or related coaching, such as, you know, Reiki services or other life coaching services or that sort of thing. But this is a very high powered book. And some of the stories are just remarkable. David has a couple really remarkable stories in it. It's a good one. It's a really good one. Have you had a chance to read any of the stories, David?
I haven't as of yet. I had a really busy week, but I am planning on it. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, next Sunday is going to be, assuming everything goes according to plan, next Sunday will be our last show to do before the launch. So if you want to do a review at that point, that'd be a good time to do it.
Yes,
just giving you a heads up.
I will, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. The month is going by so fast.
I know, isn't it? It's just flying. didn't we just start 2018?
I know. I'm like, how is it mid-May already? And it's just like, wow.
It moves right along. But boy, are we having a good time along the way.
What other wins have you had this past week that you can share?
You mean that's not enough?
Well,
no, it's been a good week.
People like hearing about our wins, I've been told. So.
This is true. This is true. No, it's been a good week. It's been a challenging week. I won't go into what all the challenges are because the point isn't to tell everybody how difficult things were. But it's also been a good week. A lot of good things have happened. I mean, the book was my big project for the week. Getting it done, getting it out there, getting votes on the cover. That's one thing we hadn't been able to resolve. The five co-hosts and myself, the six of us, we all like different covers. So we put it out to a vote to everybody, and the returns are almost in. We've got about 3/4 of the votes are in. And I'm not ready to announce what the winner is yet, but there is a clear leader, and seems likely.
I mean, none of them are bad.
No, they're all good.
Everyone just has their opinion, I guess, of what they think.
Yeah,
like the best.
There are certain patterns. Just so listeners haven't seen any of the covers yet, of course. But the covers, they're basically three different backgrounds that we're considering, and there are two different variations on the title. So that's a total of six different variations when you combine all those together. And those six variations are all excellent variations. They're really, really good. So no matter which one we get, it's going to be a good cover, and it's going to be a good book.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So let's see. And I just had, you always like to have food wins, right? So I just had I just had a delicious filet mignon, end tip dinner with my wife.
Ooh.
And just, oh God, it was a great cut. It was like having the middle chunk of the filet mignon. It wasn't just like the end cut. It was the middle part, but it was actually the end cut, if you know what I mean. And it was so good. Very flavorful. A little Montreal steak on top as well. Oh God, it was great. So
that's great.
Those are some of my wins. How about you? What are your wins for the week?
I have a lot of great wins. I would say one of them was, I had a lot of coaching sessions.
Really? Oh, very good.
Like maybe even more than I've had before, which is wonderful.
Wow, very good.
I had like so many wonderful coaching sessions. If someone's listening that doesn't know, I'm a law of attraction life coach, so that makes sense now. I consider that a win because I just love doing it. So when I have a week like this past week, I was like, wow, that was amazing.
And I ask everybody this because obviously all of my co-hosts are coaches, but do you find that coaching really is a very, very rewarding business, not just a business, profession to be in?
Very much so. Totally. Yeah, because you're, like, every time I hear someone tell me, you know, I can't believe how much my life has improved from when I started coaching till now. I mean, come on, that's, like, amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, hearing things like that or people telling me they manifested whatever it is, you know, a relationship or more money or, a dream job or whatever it is. It's just like, wow, that is fantastic. And it just makes me feel so good for them. And that it was from the coaching that they learned how to manifest things.
Now, does it ever spur you with your own stuff that you're trying to attract? Like you see their results and you say, well, geez, I got to redouble my own.
Well, what it does is, you know, typically by the end of a coaching session, my client's vibration has been raised from where it was at the beginning, and because theirs is, mine is.
Oh, okay.
So, kind of like, so yeah, kind of, it's interesting how that happens, because I'm just so into it and excited for them that by the end of it, I'm also like, you know, woo, yes.
So it's kind of... It's kind of similar to what happens with us here at the podcast, because each time I do a podcast with one of you guys, I come away feeling higher at the end. So it's probably a kind of similar thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So very rewarding. So that, anyway, I would say that this past week was, that was a big win.
Yeah.
I also remember getting many good parking spots.
I love you. You just go after those parking spaces. I think it's great.
But it's almost, but it's to the point now where wherever I go and pull in, I'm like, okay, I know there's going to be a spot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right in front waiting. And 9 times out of 10, there is. And it's amazing.
It's true. It, and I have to say, it's gotten to the point now where I expect it just so without doubt that I don't even have to anticipate anymore. It's like, I just drive in like, okay, exactly. I know it's here. Where is it? Oh, yeah, there it is. Oh, it's right by the door. Of course it is.
Yeah. I mean, even today, for Mother's Day, we went to a very crowded restaurant for brunch, and I pulled in, and it was a little drizzly, so I really got to get a spot really close. As I pulled in to the lot, I was like going very slow right in front, and I saw brake lights go on at a spot that was like 3 spots from the door. So I was like, there's my spot.
Yep. Well, we had a similar situation at the parking for the Stop and Shop for the supermarket, which is usually jam-packed. And today I went right for where the best spot is, where the best couple spots there. And as I'm pulling down there, I'm not even going slowly. I'm just going right for that place down there. And as I'm pulling down, the car at the first spot pulls out and drives away, and I pulled right in. It was great. I love it.
Yes. Yes. Definitely.
It's fun.
And even, I mean... Today I had a very good one that I could share because it's very appropriate, because we're reading the book by Esther Hicks, who channels Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mom wanted to go to a casino for Mother's Day.
Really? Okay.
So we took her to brunch, and then we took her to the casino, which was a lot of fun. And I did all the driving on the way there, and I thought, oh, it'd be nice on the way back if my brother could drive home. Because it's like an hour drive, and I thought, you know, it would only be fair that, you know, I drove there so he could drive home. So when it came time to go home, he didn't want to drive home.
Uh-huh.
And he made, like, a fuss about it. So what was like, we had to get home. So I ended up driving home, even though I didn't want to. So I would say for the first... 10-15 minutes, I was all like in a huff about it. I remember something that Esther had said, and she said, would you rather be right or would you rather feel good?
Good point.
And it came to my mind at the perfect time. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, I'd rather feel good. I would. Because it didn't feel good to be sitting there all like, you know, mad or upset about driving. First of all, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal. So I thought to myself, no, I'd rather feel good. That's more important. So I just kind of eased myself out of that mood and just started, you know, chatting with other people in the car about the casino and lightening the mood. And it totally worked.
Good.
And it was so much better. So much better.
See, now that's something I can't really identify with that. It is a good win, but that's something I can't really identify with because I'm the one who drives everywhere. I love driving. I mean, literally, David, when my wife and I, back before we lived in Virginia, we lived in Connecticut even at that point, and we would drive from Connecticut to Virginia to a place called Smith Mountain Lake near Roanoke where my parents used to live, and it was about a 12.5-hour drive. I'd drive the whole thing. It just didn't bother me.
Right.
It just didn't bother. I liked it. I enjoyed it. Hey, actually, it was harder before I had, cruise control. Because you're riding the pedal all that time, right? That was tiring because the leg would get really tired. With cruise control, it's like, oh, God, I'm just going to sit back and steer the wheel. This is great. I love this. So you know, just you know, the idea of not wanting to drive an hour to me is like, huh?
it's like, I don't know, I'm getting used to these new glasses, and I'm still kind of like, they're progressive. I don't know if you ever had progressive
lenses. Oh, I have progressive lenses, yeah.
So I'm still getting used to, it's a little different, like, trying to see out of them. So I thought, you know, let me just give myself a break on the way home. And you know, in my mind, I'm like, well, I drove there, I'm sure he wouldn't mind driving home, you know, but he did. So I thought, well.
Progressive lenses are a little bit tricky depending on where the focal point is. If your focal point is kind of lower down, then your chin is always up as you're trying to find your focal point. That's not so comfortable.
I know. Like, I'm still getting used to a little bit. They give you a little bit of that fishbowl look sometimes.
The fishbowl look. So, okay.
Yeah, like when you're looking through them, there's a little bit on the edges. So anyway, but I thought, I was so glad that came to my mind in that moment. Because it was just so helpful. And I thought, that's right. She always says, would you rather be right or would you rather feel good?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, from a law of attraction point of view, you would think I'd rather feel good because you don't want to be in that lower vibration.
Well, maybe this will help you next time you're dealing with that, particularly with the progressive lenses. Because as I think you probably know, I like to phrase this very particularly. I am in the middle of regenerating my macula. So if you can kind of inverse that, you know what I'm talking about. And so as a result, I have one good eye. And I'm thrilled I have one good eye. I can see. I can drive. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be able to drive. You know? So next time you're worried about your progressive lenses, just remember, hey, you got two good eyes.
Yes, I do.
That's right.
Yes, I do.
It's a good thing.
Well, I'm sure within another week, I'll be much more used to them. And things will look like they're supposed to, kind of, I guess.
Oh, sure, yeah. Well, if the prescription is new, then it does take a little while, yeah. But it won't. It doesn't take that long. It's actually pretty quick.
Yeah, so anyway, I definitely count that as a win that I got myself out of that, which was really good.
Absolutely.
And, so I know it was a really good week, and here we are on Sunday night already, and I think we're on example 5 already.
Yeah, we're looking at the astonishing power of emotions. Let your feelings be your guide by Esther and Jerry Hicks. And this is in part 2, which is a collection of over 30 examples. An example being, here's how we're going to apply what we taught in part 1. Part 1 was all about, mainly it was about upstream versus downstream. That's the quick way of describing it. And if you're kind of struggling and through action to make things happen, you're going upstream. And if you're just letting the law of attraction take you where you need to go, you're going downstream. Well, it sounds so easy. It really does. But as it turns out, when it comes to applying it in our daily lives, we often trip up, you know, over things like, you know, driving when the other person, you thought the other person was going to drive and you didn't really want to. And what you successfully did, David, of course, was you turned an upstream moment into a downstream moment.
Absolutely. Well, yeah.
Well, these examples are all about specific situations where we have the often challenging opportunity to decide whether we're going to go upstream or downstream. And we are on, like you said, example 5. This one's entitled, My Former Partner Tells Lies About Me.
Uh-oh.
That doesn't sound very pleasant, I have to say.
No.
I don't know that I actually have experience with it, but I can see where that would make you kind of pissy, I would think. It's definitely an opportunity to practice upstream versus downstream. So who's reading? Are you reading or am I reading?
Well,
tell you what, why don't you read the first, you read for a bit and then I'll read for a bit. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right.
So example, quote, I was married for more than 10 years and we have a 10-year-old daughter. Last year, we became divorced, and so my ex-husband and I share custody of our child. We live in the same city so that our daughter can move from house to house relatively easily. Also, we have the physical logistics of all that working pretty well. In our divorce agreement, we agreed that our daughter would be at my house during the week and go with her father on most weekends. Then in parentheses, she spends some weekends with me, but most with her father, and we take turns sharing birthdays and holidays, regardless of whether they fall in the middle of the week or on the weekend. She's a great girl and seems to be doing all right with all of this, although when she comes home from being at her father's house, she usually feels out of sorts to me. She's often irritable, and I can tell that something is bothering her. It has recently come to my attention that her father often makes negative comments about me, which doesn't surprise me. I don't feel all that great about him either, but he just makes things up. Really, much of what I'm hearing is just pure fabrication, and I'm worried that he's telling these untruths to my daughter in an attempt to drive a wedge between us. I'm afraid that she will believe him and that she and I will grow apart. I want to defend myself, but I don't know exactly what he's saying, so I don't know how to do that. And I also don't know who else he's talking to or what he's telling them either. How can I make him stop doing that?
That's a pretty serious problem, I can see. Yeah. So, okay. Well, let's find out what the answer is. This is, of course, what Abraham is sending to Esther, what she's receiving from Esther, or what Esther's receiving from Abraham, I should say. It says, since you were not able to find harmony with this person while you were married to him, we know that it is not really a surprise to you that you are having a difficult time finding harmony after your divorce. But it is possible. In fact, if you realize that the time you spent together actually caused both of you to expand in a variety of ways, you could both benefit dramatically from your relationship, even though your marriage has come to an end. Now, that's something I bet you most people have never thought about.
I'm sure, right? They're too busy being upset with each other.
That's right. Well, in italics, it says, what we most want to help you understand is that while your marriage has come to an end, your relationship with this person has not, and it never will. That is one of the most unsettling things that people discover following a divorce or separation from a former partner. In the midst of feeling extreme negative emotion over some situation they are living, they think that the separation from this person will solve the majority of their problems. But most people find little or no improvement in the way they feel about their ex-partner after their divorce. In fact, most work so hard at justifying why the divorce was a good idea that they hold themselves in vibrational alignment with all those things about the relationship that they did not want. So now, even though they are no longer living in the same space, the other's uncomfortable presence remains a daily occurrence even when they do not actually see one another or interact face to face. And because their vibration did not change, even though the physical details of their lives together did change, their next relationship is fraught with the same uncomfortable issues as was the last. I'll bet you there are millions of people who could say, yep, raising their hands, yep, that's me, that's what happened to me.
Absolutely, yep, yep.
Now remember that this relationship, uncomfortable as it was, has caused you to evolve. And your inner being stands right now as the vibrational expression of that expanded being. If you can find good feeling thoughts and train yourself through practice into vibrational alignment with those thoughts, you can benefit from the experience. But only in finding and maintaining better feeling thoughts can you close that gap and actually be the expanded being that your life has caused you to become. We should talk about what that means a little bit, because they've packed a lot in there, and some of it kind of needs some explanation. You have to kind of know the background of some of the things they're talking about there, right?
Yes. You have to be familiar with law of attraction, and absolutely. Well, they're saying if you can find good feeling thoughts and train yourself through practice into vibrational alignment with those thoughts, you can benefit from the experience.
And more than that,
that takes a lot of work, and it'd be amazing
it does.
If everyone did that.
It does. Yes. But even more than that, one of the really neat analogies that Abraham has come up with, it's not so much an analogy, it's more of a description, is how you can end a relationship with somebody because something wasn't going right, and if you don't do it in a way where you're in vibrational alignment with your own being, with your own inner self, then the next relationship you go to, you end up having the same experience all over again because you didn't actually deal with the underlying issue. And
and you're keeping yourself in the vibration of that, which is matching the vibration of the next person.
Exactly, yeah. And that's why they recommend.
Gonna match that.
That's right. That's why they recommend getting into vibrational alignment with yourself. Because what that means, being in vibrational alignment with yourself, means being in a good feeling place. And it means more specifically being in a good feeling place about that relationship or about the next relationship or about whoever it is that you're in relationship with or anything else that's going on in your life. But in this case, we're talking about relationships. So it's getting into a good feeling place about that. And that's hard sometimes. I mean, if you've had a lot of difficult problems with a particular person, how do you get into a good feeling place about them? I mean, if you have a client who has a problem with that, what do you tell them, David?
I have had that.
I'm sure you have.
Well, it's a process. I mean, if I'm talking to someone and coaching them and it's something that happened very recently, they're more in a resistant place because of that.
Right.
So we have to do, you know, it's a little bit more challenging, but doable. And you want to slow them, you want to slowly go up, you know, the emotional scale and bring them to a better feeling place. If it's someone who's had more time to kind of get over it within themselves, then it's a little bit easier. But it's a process.
And for those, like
but
you said, we have some.
But it is doable.
We may have some new listeners in the podcast here, and perhaps some of them aren't familiar with that, you know, going up, climbing up the emotional scale. So why don't you describe that process quickly?
Oh, sure. But the emotional scale is a scale that Abraham came up with. It has 22 points to it. 22 is the lowest, and that's like where fear is and depression and powerlessness is. And then it goes all the way up to number one, which is joy and empowerment and love and appreciation. So what I do as a coach is I try to find where somebody is on that scale and then just try to bring them up one level at a time. And every time you bring them up a level, it's a much better place to be than the one before. And sometimes it could take a few sessions, depending on what's going on, to get someone to one of those higher numbers. But when they do, it's so worth it.
Now, what do you do? I mean, if you've got somebody who's upset with an ex-partner, like in the case of this example, and you know, you hear somebody say, I mean, you read that first part, and you hear somebody come to you and say, it has recently come to my attention that her father often makes negative comments about me, which doesn't surprise me. I don't feel all that great about him either, but he just makes things up. I mean, really, much of what I'm hearing is just pure fabrication, blah, 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 blah. What do you do when somebody's in that place? Because they're obviously in a very angry place.
Yes. Well, I mean, I have to kind of know more of the history, but the whole idea is that person has to get themselves into a better vibration, even if it's a little bit better. And then from there, they can get it to a little bit better. So I would probably start by talking about things unrelated to the divorce.
Okay.
Or to the situation, just to get them into some feeling betterness. And then from that point, maybe we go back and revisit that and work on that issue. But the person first has to get themselves into a better place, which probably would be involving taking them away from that topic.
Which is pretty much what Abraham is talking about too, because when we get to the next part here that we were reading, it says, "Let us begin the reaching for some downstream thoughts, and beginning where you are."
Okay.
So let's see what they say. I'm glad that I no longer have to live with him. Yeah, a lot of people could probably agree with that one. Yeah. I knew almost from the beginning that it wouldn't work. I don't know why I stayed there for so long. Yeah. I'm not surprised that he's still trying to make trouble. These aren't exactly downstream. These are more upstream.
I was thinking, this kind of sounds a little upstream, but maybe from where that person was.
Maybe.
Maybe from their point of view, if they're like at the very bottom.
Yeah.
That's why they're, I don't know, yeah.
So I'm not surprised that he's still trying to make trouble. I hate it that I can't defend myself against his lies. He's so insecure, and I don't think he'll ever change. I'll never be rid of the discomfort of this relationship. I'll always be tied to him because of our daughter. And then they say, better feeling thoughts do not gush from you just because you have decided that you would like to find them, because the law of attraction does not offer thoughts that are far from your active vibration. Well, apparently that's true. Here's an example of it. Just came up with a whole bunch of negative upstream thoughts. And since you have been thinking unpleasant thoughts regarding this person for quite a long time, you are not going to suddenly shift into wonderful feeling thoughts. But that is not necessary. All that is necessary is that you shift a little bit. All that is really necessary in order to begin turning in the stream and flowing toward an improved situation is that you discontinue pushing against it. It really is a matter of just releasing, as best you can, the uncomfortable thoughts. Each time you do so, you will feel a bit of relief that will seem to translate into a small amount of downstream momentum, making it now more possible to find another thought of relief, and so on. Your goal right now is to just stop paddling upstream. Stop trying to defend yourself, or your position, or your decision for the divorce, or your rightness. Stop defending anything and just float in your boat. So, I'm tired of the battle. I don't want to fight. That's a good start. I mean, it's not real super downstream yet, but it's a lot better than the ones that came before.
Yes.
And it says so. Compared to the previous statements that flowed with such hostility, these statements are a big improvement. And so you do feel relief. It is not necessary that you continue in one sitting until you feel even more wonderful. Sometimes just letting go and discontinuing the upstream battle is enough. But if you feel like it and can continue just a little more, there is value in benefiting from any additional momentum that you manage to achieve. And they have some more examples. It's a good thing that we've divorced. Yeah, I think they could probably agree on that. No one is really to blame for that. That's always true, isn't it? No, I'd say that's always true. And the reason I say that it's always true, you can always find something or someone to blame. But as I've talked about with Joel and Wendy, there really is no value to blame. Because all blame is just pointing your finger at somebody else that you don't want over something you don't want to take responsibility for. You don't want to have any responsibility on it, so you blame somebody else. And I've made the argument that, I mean, Joel argues that perhaps it's useful in the judicial system, but I've made the argument that there's really no good value to blame. Blame doesn't actually help anybody. It doesn't help the person who's blamed. It doesn't help the person doing the blaming. It doesn't help anybody who's surrounded by all the blame. I mean, who does it really help?
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, so no one is really to blame for that. It was something that we both agreed upon. Well, that's good. It was an amicable divorce, you know, so-called.
Right.
I'm glad that we live close enough that our daughter can easily spend time with both of us. Okay. Yeah, that might be something you could buy into. Things are better now that we are not all living in the same house. Boy, yeah, that's true. I mean, there's an old cliche about that, right? It's better to come from a broken home than to live in one. And it's true.
Yep.
Now, sometimes with only that much effort, you can break through into a much better feeling place. If that happens, take advantage of it and make even more positive downstream statements. Okay, here we get to the really good ones. I understand that we'll always have a relationship. Okay, well, that's honest. I do want to make the best of our situation. Well, that's improvement. If you hear that one, David, you know you're making progress, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't want to deprive my daughter of her father. That's good. I don't believe that he wants to deprive her of her mother. That might take a little bit of a reach, but that's a good one if you can get to it. I don't believe that I'm a big part of what they talk about. That's a real reach, but if you can get there, that's a really good one to get to.
Yes.
We both moved on with our lives. Good. If you can make that true in your mind, that's a good thing. I want my daughter to feel good about her parents. That's an easy one. I want my daughter to feel good about me. That's even easier.
Yeah.
I even want my daughter to feel good about her father. That's a good one if you can reach it. There's no reason for us to continue to battle. That's always true. And I really feel no interest in fighting. Boy, there's a statement of I release right there. I feel no interest in fighting.
No, I would say from my experience, it does take someone a few tries, you know, a little bit of time to get to these ones, but they can get to these ones, which is so much better.
Which is a good thing.
Oh, yes. Yes. So, yeah, it's interesting that the first statements they said compared to these statements, there's a huge difference.
So do you want to take us in with the rest of it here?
Sure. It goes on. Now, it may seem that we have used words that have avoided the deepest issue of, quote, her father often makes negative comments about me. He just makes things up. Much of what I'm hearing is just pure fabrication. I also don't know who else he is talking to or what he is telling them. And that is accurate. We are deliberately avoiding the most uncomfortable issues in the beginning of the process, for in doing so, it is more likely for you to find relief through your improved thought. If you are aware of the way you feel and you consistently reach for thoughts that produce the improved emotion of relief, in time, even these intense negative emotions will have subsided. Not because your ex-husband has changed, but because you have come into alignment with who you have become as a result of this relationship. When you understand the value of closing your vibrational gap and allowing yourself to be the expanded being that your life has caused you to become, you can actually reach a place of adoration of that scoundrel ex who seemingly caused you so much grief, but all of that in good time.
That is probably a big reach for somebody who's in the middle of it.
Yeah, that scoundrel ex.
A place of adoration of that scoundrel. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really high vibration place. It's possible to reach it. It is possible to get there.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
But that's probably not your immediate goal on the first day.
It takes time.
It does.
Yes. That scoundrel. That's a funny word, yeah.
Scoundrel. I like that one, scoundrel.
I know.
I suspect there are a lot of exes who like that word, too.
Yes. But no, the idea is right, though, for sure.
The idea is definitely right. Well, we zoomed through that one. Should we try example 6?
Absolutely.
It's kind of related, really, when you think about it. Because the title of it is, My Husband Tells Me How to Drive. In other words, we got a backseat driver going on here.
Well, go for it, Walt, because I like how you read.
All right, well, I'll set up the example, and then you can read the response, okay?
Okay, all right.
So the example says, I'm a good driver. I've never had an accident, and I do a lot of driving. I don't have the best sense of direction, and I'm not really very good at reading a map, but once I've driven someplace, I usually remember how to get there again. My husband and I spend a lot of time together in the car, and he prefers that I drive, but he wants to make all of the decisions about my driving. He is constantly suggesting that I change lanes or that I get out from behind this big truck. He even wants to choose the way I navigate in parking lots. There are so many... I'm skipping lines with my eyes. That's why it's the progressive lenses, David. That's what it is. It's the progressive lenses. I mean, it's all their fault, right? Yeah. No, there are some. Well, I am too.
Oh, okay.
There are so many different choices that could be made while driving, most of which would lead to nearly identical results. That I just don't see why it's that much better to go this way to get out of the parking lot rather than that way. And sometimes, even though his approach may be somewhat better, it feels like the mind that's making the decisions isn't the one attached to the body that's maneuvering the car. So I feel constant discomfort as my natural impulses are continually being overridden by his instincts. I really believe that if he wants to drive, he should be behind the wheel. And when I'm driving, he should let me drive. And that there must be some happy compromise where he occasionally offers a helpful suggestion without overriding all of my inclinations. I'm constantly tormented, even in backing out of a parking place, wondering if my natural choice based on how I see the car positioned will mesh with his suggestion. It's not pleasant to drive under these conditions and probably not safe. I find myself hesitating like a crazy person rather than just moving ahead with the decision that I've made. Now, I can't honestly say I have had that experience. Louise and I get along much better than that, for sure.
But I would say just leave him home when you go somewhere.
That was my first inclination, too. I can say my wife does have a tendency at times to tell me, not as a regular thing at all, but occasionally, take this route. Take this route. You know, that kind of thing. And there have been a couple times where, well, first of all, I found an interesting way of dealing with that. I kept taking her route when I realized that most of the time it was not the optimal route. And I figured if I do that often enough, maybe she will eventually decide that it's not a good idea for me to follow her direction. And you know what the funny thing was?
What would happen if you told her you didn't want to do it? You wanted to go your way.
Well, I've also done that too, but I actually deliberately stayed with this pattern for a while just to see if she would notice it. And one day, after one of her decisions took us particularly wrong, she said, just don't pay any attention to me anymore. So I actually got my wish.
Oh, my goodness.
But, no, I agree with you. I mean, I actually would not say don't go anywhere with that person. That, I mean, especially if it's a spouse, that's not really an option, obviously. Yeah, I know you were.
Funny.
I know. But nevertheless, I think it is important to draw a line and say, you know what? This isn't acceptable.
Yeah.
I'm willing to drive if you're willing to keep your mouth closed about how I'm going to do the driving. If you're not willing to keep your mouth closed, then I want you to do the driving. But we are not going to continue this pattern where I do the driving and you criticize it all the time.
Or you could just tell the other person that they're not going to get dessert with dinner. There's no dessert for you if you keep telling me to go.
Unfortunately, of course, both of those are rather manipulative, but nevertheless, they're a lot of fun. So what is it that Abraham recommends for something like this?
Well, let's find out. It is important to note that the experiences that you are having are those of co-creation. In other words, your husband is not doing this to you, but rather the two of you over time have created this scenario. It may have begun during an incident when you really could not decide which way to go, and your mate may have had a clear picture of the best course to take. Often a suggestion from another point of view can be very helpful. However, what is now occurring is that you are feeling so much agitation over the constant suggestions that you are out of alignment with yourself. And in this misalignment, you are acting hesitantly, which makes your mate feel the need to guide you all the more. So it's an uncomfortable cycle of you being out of alignment. So you drive with less efficiency and focus. He wants to help, which makes you more out of alignment, so you drive with less efficiency and focus, so he wants to help. Both of you have not only developed habitual patterns of action and words, but also of thoughts and feelings about the situation.
And while they don't say it there, you know, there's also an inference, which is he's also out of alignment. You're both out of alignment.
Yes.
That's really important to recognize, I think.
Right, because then he wouldn't have the need to tell you what to do. Right.
In fact, I remember one time Louise and I were having a conversation about it, and I was in a non-aligned position. I was trying to get myself into alignment, not terribly successfully, but I did succeed to calm myself down long enough to say the next thing relatively calmly. And the thing I said was, from now on, I would appreciate it if you let me ask you first that on those situations where I need help. If you don't hear me ask, I'm not asking for your help.
Okay.
And it helped. I mean, it didn't. She didn't always remember to do that, but she tried to be respectful of that. And it has reached the point now where we have a pretty good detente on that kind of thing. And I want to really stress, this is not like a major thing that we've got going on here. This is not like, you know, the wife here who's describing this husband who's driving her nuts. That's not at all what we've had. So it's been a relatively easy thing for us to navigate. But nevertheless, it does give me at least some sense of what that person went through. And, oh boy, I'm also remembering, too, her parents, both of whom have passed, her father and her stepmother have both passed, but the two of them get the two of them in the back seat, and it was like a fight trying to decide which one was going to back seat drive us to wherever it was we were going. So she had plenty of experience with it in her family, too. It was quite the thing, let me put it that way.
But, all right, let me continue.
But I also want to go back. I want to go back to the thing about getting into alignment. That really is the key. It almost doesn't matter, does it, what you do, as long as it is either preceded or very closely followed by getting into alignment. Because when you get into alignment, you become more forgiving. You become more happy. You relax more. It's easier to let go of stuff. It's easier to stop resisting what the other person is doing. It's easier to just kind of let it go. That's part of what the getting into alignment's about.
That's what I did on the way home tonight. I got myself back into alignment about that whole driving thing.
Yep.
And it totally shifted my vibration to a much better place. And that was that.
And it feels better. It feels so much better.
Totally.
Well, I mean, that's what good alignment is. Good alignment does feel good. But it feels especially good when you've been in out of alignment, you know?
Yes. Yes. All right, so let me continue here.
Okay.
So from your place of annoyance and frustration, you can find no solution.
True.
Your driving cannot improve, and we note that you see no reason to improve your own driving, for you do not believe that your driving is the problem. But you also have no way of soliciting anything else from your mate. And so, unless you change the way you feel about the situation, nothing can improve. Many people watching this scenario might suggest that you just let him do the driving, or that you take separate vehicles, or tell him to mind his own business and keep his ideas to himself. But then even you acknowledge that there are times when his suggestions are very helpful. It is not possible to orchestrate or legislate patterns of behavior without introducing a greater hindrance to the situation. In other words, if you were to tell him that you do not want him to interfere with your driving by giving you suggestions, you would deprive yourself of another point of view that you often find extremely helpful. It is not possible to say to anyone in any situation, I want you to always do this or always do that. For the sake of simplifying your lives, you often believe that you do want that, but it is truly not practical. What you really want is to align with your broader perspective so that you can receive the benefit of that broader view. What you really want is to be so aligned with the total resources of your being that you excel in whatever you are doing. It is our promise to you that when you are in alignment with your broader perspective, you are then acting from a place of deftness, clarity, and precision. Your instincts are sharp and clear, and you make good decisions. And even though your mate may still want to play with you in making the best possible choices as you move about in your vehicle, he would not be offering his suggestions to you because of his doubt in your ability, but instead in his desire to play and co-create productively. You have no way of changing your mate. You cannot modify your behavior enough to soothe that, but you can come into alignment with you. And when you do, everything will improve. So once again, your work is the same. Make your statements from where you are, but make an effort to find better feeling, downstream thoughts upon this topic that align with who you really are. Some say to us, Abraham, it's annoying, to say the least, that every suggestion you offer is about what I need to do. You never suggest that the other people in my life make changes. I don't think it's fair that I'm always the one who needs to make the effort or make the changes. And we understand why it annoys you that our suggestions are always directed at you and the choices that you are making. But you can choose to look at that in either an upstream way or a downstream way. And an upstream way would be, I have to do all the changing. And a more downstream way would be, I hold the power to affect my own life.
Very true.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting how it does always come back. It comes back to us and how we're dealing with it within ourselves.
By the way, toward the middle of that page where you read, you have no way of changing your mate, you cannot modify your behavior enough to soothe that, but you can come into alignment with you, and when you do, everything will improve. It almost sounds there for a moment like Abraham is kind of contradicting something they've said in other situations, to wit, if you get yourself into alignment, you can actually influence somebody else to follow your example.
Mm-hmm.
They really aren't actually contradicting that, but on the surface, it sounds like they are. And what they're actually saying is, you cannot modify your behavior enough to soothe that, but you can come into alignment with you, and when you do, everything will improve. The everything will improve is the part where they're really saying you can have an influence on somebody in that way. So I just wanted to point out,
yeah,
there really is not a contradiction there. But for somebody who's read or listened to some Abraham before, they might say, well, that's not what they said before. Well, they said it differently, but they really did say the same thing.
Yes, let me go on because we only have a few minutes left here.
Yeah, okay.
When you think that others need to do something differently than they are doing in order to make your life better, you are really in a place of disempowerment because you cannot control the actions of others. So those thoughts are always upstream thoughts. But when you understand that you can control the way you feel because you can choose the thoughts that you think, and that with practice you can come into alignment with who you really are, regardless of the topic, that not only are you in complete control of the way you feel, but your life must unfold in a pleasing way. Those are downstream thoughts.
They certainly are.
Yeah, yeah. If you try to sort out why your husband behaves in the way he does, did he have a bad experience with past drivers? Does he feel bored if he's uninvolved? Does he have a control issue? Am I really such a terrible driver that I evoke this reaction from him? You will make yourself crazy.
Yes.
Things will only get worse. You do not have to understand the things that may have led up to the situation, but you must stop offering the vibration here and now that matches it.
I want to emphasize, I know we have short time, but I want to make one little point about this because I think this is important.
Yes.
So often we will, in conversation with each other or whatever, we'll try to dissect it, right? We'll try to cut it into mincemeat, finding out where it all fell apart, why stuff isn't working, who's doing what, and all that kind of thing. And the weird thing is, after all of that, when all is said and done, the one thing that really makes the most difference is getting back into alignment, which means we could have just skipped all that and gone right to getting back into alignment.
We could have. Yes, we could have. That's true. I think this part I really like. Observing what is only perpetuates it.
It does.
Trying to figure out how it got started only perpetuates it. Taking action while feeling negative emotion only perpetuates it. An improved situation will only come once you have improved the way you feel. And that is so true.
It is. It's very true.
About anything we would talk about.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So begin where you are and reach for better feeling downstream thoughts. Notice the gradual improvement as you make a statement and then try to make the next one even better feeling. Now, do I have time to read the rest of this?
Yeah, and they've got a lot of downstream thoughts, or at least it starts upstream, I think, but it starts going downstream pretty quick.
Okay.
So, yeah, let's go through.
Here they are. Okay. I don't like the way my husband tries to guide my every move while I'm driving. If he's so sure he has all the right answers, he should drive. Sometimes he does offer a helpful suggestion. Since he doesn't have to watch where I'm driving, he can look around for alternative options. Two heads are often better than one. He's never unpleasant when I make a mistake while driving. He isn't trying to make me feel bad. His suggestions are well-meaning. When we flow together, we really do flow. It's nice to have an interested partner. It does feel like we're in this together. I appreciate his interest. I do appreciate his help. I'm a good driver. I'm a good driver with a good helper. We do make a good team.
Now, I do want to emphasize, those are all, that's a nice, yeah, it is. And that's a good transition from downstream, from upstream to downstream. But I also want to emphasize, that's not the only way you have to do it. You don't have to turn it into something where you get along so great. There are lots of ways to go downstream. If going directly head on into whatever the crisis is not something you can easily get to, you don't have to go that way. The only thing you have to do is get into downstream thoughts. So, I mean, you could do the same kind of thing starting with, let's see, what was the first thing to start with? Because the first couple were kind of negative. I don't like the way my husband tries to guide my every move while I'm driving. If he's so sure he has all the right answers, he should drive. Well, okay. Now, starting with that, what's another way we could do it? We could say things like, well, on the other hand, I do know what I'm doing. I have a lot of confidence in myself. In fact, I have so much confidence in myself that he can say what he wants to, and I don't actually have to follow his instruction if I don't want to. In fact, I can feel good while I follow my own way because I know what I'm doing and I know I'll get the right result. And even if he decides he wants to get upset with me, I don't have to buy into it. I can actually just feel good anyway because he doesn't control my thoughts and he certainly doesn't control my feelings unless I let him. So you know what? I decide that I'm not going to let him control my feeling just by getting upset with me because I didn't go into the parking place he had in mind. I'll just shrug my shoulders and I'll just go into the parking place I wanted to go into and I'll be fine with it.
And they can even say, and I decided I'm still going to give him dessert tonight. So he was annoying to me.
Which is a very downstream thought. That's about as downstream as you can get. He was trying, but you know, hey, you know, you don't give him the dessert because you're trying to modify his behavior. You give him the dessert because you love him. It's that simple.
That's right.
That's what it comes down to.
It always comes down to dessert, Walt.
Oh. It always comes down to dessert? Oh, I see. Okay. So this is the David Barkey theory of food as a win-win situation. I got it. Okay.
That's funny.
Well, then, David, you'll be happy to know. I mean, we didn't spend enough time on food, obviously, as a win. So to finish up the show, I want to tell you that before we came onto the podcast, remember I had that delicious filet mignon with my wife, and it was really, really tasty. Well, we were watching a program that she had recorded off of PBS about pies, about places around the United States that make pie and that are very well known in their own local area for how good their pies are. And let me tell you, you watch like three or four of these different places with the owners talking about what they do and the patrons who frequent them talking about how wonderful their pies are. It makes your food taste much better. It tastes really good. In fact, the only thing that was missing from that meal is we didn't have pie for dessert. Other than that, it was great. So I thought I'd slip that in there for you because I know how much you love to have wins associated with pie. And if you like, I'll even find out what the name of the program is. I'll send you an email so you can go look at the program.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Now, with a couple of minutes left, I did mention that we're going to be most likely launching the book on Memorial Day weekend, and there will be more information about that to come. We did also point out that there are some new listeners, and for those of you who are new listeners, I want to encourage you to become a subscriber to the podcast. It's very easy to do. Most of our listeners are longtime listeners, and they are all of them subscribers. And the instructions are very simple. They're right on the homepage of our website. That's at loatoday.net. You'll find not only the player for listening to a live broadcast of the podcast, and you'll find the schedule, the daily schedule of when we do the podcast, which we normally stick to. We didn't actually stick to it tonight because we started a little bit late, but most of the time we start right on the dot. And you'll also find how to subscribe to the podcast. The instructions are all right there. It's very clear. And you'll also find a whole bunch of social media icons so that once you've subscribed, you can share the fact with your friends that, hey, I just subscribed to the LOA Today podcast. And here's why I did it. And here's why I think you should do it too. Because really, the biggest benefit of being a subscriber is that you get all of the shows automatically sent right to your phone. And we know people listen to them. The last few months, we've been averaging between 30 and 45 episodes per unique listener. So we know people are listening in large, large numbers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So really good stuff.
Yes. And if anybody wants to experience some amazing law of attraction coaching, they can just go to lifecoachdavid.com and you can contact me through there. And, contact me if you're even just curious about it, because I know if you're listening to this program, you're going to really like it.
And David, you give out a free first session. Is that how you work it?
I do. Yeah, I always like to give a first free kind of mini phone coaching session. Oh, my coaching is phone coaching, so it doesn't matter where you live. You don't have to be local to New Jersey.
Anywhere.
To get in on the coaching. Yeah, yeah.
Even around the world?
Around the world. I've coached people in the U.K., India, Australia, Ireland, Israel. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't modern technology wonderful?
It is.
It's a good thing. Well, yeah, great. And by all means, if you like what David's been talking about on this program and on each of the programs he and I do on Sundays, by all means, give him a call because he has a very high success rate as a coach. So just wanted to throw in that little bit, that tidbit for you, David.
Thank you, Walt. Now you can have your dessert.
Now I can have my dessert? Oh, good. Except I think we're going to have to go out for the pie. I don't think we have any pie in the house. Oh, well.
Uh-oh.
Well, that's all right. David, it's been a pleasure as usual, and I look forward to doing it again with you next week. You are going to be here next week, right?
I'll be here next week.
Okay. Yep. Well, maybe we can even do it on time. That would be good.
Yes.
And we hope that you'll join us as well next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.